How a real-life bard saved our D&D campaign of 2 years. This campaign has been going for 2 years. The final big bad, the catastrophe of the realms, doom of everything we know, is now in front of us. The realm's very existence is on our shoulders. Stopping this beyond godlike creature is our sworn duty. After 3 sessions, we fall one by one, a group of 6 players. Our hopes are fleeting by the minute. The beast is almost finished, but we're much closer to death compared to it. No one left but our bard, holding in the back, providing what support she could. Mind you, she was the quiet, shy one, roleplayed the best she could. She was brand new to D&D prior to this game. We always encouraged her to be more lively but never pushed, just reassuring a friendly space. She started to tear up. I noticed it at first. When I finally was able to meet her eyes, to avoid bringing attention to the situation, I tried to gesture if she wanted to take a break. While everyone is pondering, stressed and worried about the 2 years leading up to this moment, no angry screams or anything, simply a high-stakes moment, she shook her head with a very firm no. She always brought this large bag with her. When we ask about it, she just says, "Oh, just all I have, no worries." She turned around and, I kid you not, pulled out a ukulele. All of us go absolutely dead silent. You could hear a pin drop. She started playing. Apparently she's been practicing since the start of our campaign, but was always too shy to play. She played Soldier Poet King by the Oh Hellos. Her voice resonated against the walls. None of us moved an inch. We're all in shock. She had a wonderful, pure voice. You could tell how nervous she was. A little shaky in her voice. Still beautiful. After what seemed like time froze and each of us were brought into her world and her voice, she stopped. We all look with pure fanboy and girl energy at her and each other, unsure what to do or say. She calmly said, cutting through the silence, "I cast Mass Cure Wounds." The entire table erupted in applause, cheering in ecstatic joy. We screamed like our favorite hockey team won the cup. Now she was in shock, but of pure happiness. A smile erupts on her face and tears rolled down her cheeks. The boss was at the bottom of the turn order. Each player was able to get up and storm the creature with absolute certainty we will be the victors, with 3 nat 20s and 2 hits. Explosions, clashing of metal and screams in the ether from the creature. We are victorious. We're jumping, yelling, and just beyond joy. After the DM's epic monologue of how we saved the realms, she played her ukulele and sang for us one last time. We couldn't have been happier, and it will always be one of my fondest D&D memories. Role-playing can be hard for some people first getting into D&D. It took this bard 2 years to reveal her true colors and blow the minds of her friends and party members. A bard brings their table to tears and happiness, and in the next story, the DM brings his party to tears with guilt and sorrow. This story is about the most tragic NPC I ever created, that the players were really fond of, and also a thriller story I'm really proud of, with some horror in the middle, and a bittersweet ending that made 2 players sob. For a bit of context, I'm DMing this homebrew D&D campaign for about 2 years now. We play like 2 sessions per month, but it's very focused on roleplay. Each session filled with character interaction, and only an occasional monster fighting, usually at the climax. So even if we have long hiatuses, the players really like their characters, and manage to keep engaged with the story. The party is not really the focus of this story, but they all have interesting personalities, and the campaign wouldn't be nearly as memorable without such an amazing cast. It is composed of a very chill tiefling bard of the College of Spirits, an Eladrin paladin that is the hero we need, but not the one we deserve. These 2 are the most relevant in this specific story. A 13-year-old half-elf sorcerer searching for her parents and a masked artificer that no one really trusts, all trying to survive in a tyrannical empire. Also, this is something of a dark fantasy setting. The world I created is cruel but not too cruel, as to become not fun or edgy. It has demon cults, dogmatic religions, racism, and almost every session there's a character experiencing existential dread over their own mortality. But the players manage to survive all that and make some good, like a gang of outcasts trying to heal the wounds of a troubled world. However, the last adventure apparently was so sad that it left the players traumatized, and some cried long after the session had ended. I was expecting that, and even consulted some friends beforehand to see if what I had planned was too cruel. They said yes, but it's a good story. So I did it anyway. Sparing the details, it went like that. The party is traveling to a distant elven kingdom, running away from fiends and the not-Spanish Inquisition. Both sides are mortal enemies that happen to also want the party dead. On the road while making a Taraka reading, the bard is contacted by a young girl, who's lost in the ethereal plane. Her name was Shear, a 10-year-old who apparently is a good walker, or Benandanti, a person gifted from birth with the power of astral projections, but she lost her way back to her body while fighting with a demon. To make things worse, her connection with the world of the living is fading, and she will eventually die if she can't go back to her body soon. The party is busy dealing with all sorts of problems, but they can't ignore a cry for help. Accepting the request, they travel to her village to warn them about the demon on the loose and find the girl's body, while also chatting with her during their trip. She's so excited about finding them, because she spent days alone on the world of the dead, that they're almost annoyed with how much she talks. But the bard and the child sorcerer got really close to her. On their way, they fight skeletons and zombies controlled by some demonic energy attacking travelers and nearby villagers, and suspect that the demon Shear mentioned is responsible for that. Before entering the village, she warns them that she's gonna wait behind, because the demon might still be around, and she's scared of it, but will leave a mark on the Taraka deck that will shine when getting close to her body, to make their work easier. She also suggests they talk with the leader of the village, because the village doesn't like outsiders. Shear calls the leader her big sister, even though they're not related, because she's an orphan raised collectively. According to rumors, the village lost almost half of its population in the last few years, supposedly due to smallpox epidemic, which left only women alive. The women also apparently worship a mysterious angel known only in that village, and don't explain their religion to outsiders. Nearby villages find it very suspicious, believing they're witches, and that the gods punished them for heresy, but the players don't believe it, although they're also a little concerned. When asking the villagers about Shear, they say that she died years ago of smallpox, but the players caught them lying with an insight check. Using the mark Shear left with them, they realize her body is inside a sealed pit that smells like rot. The villagers refuse to explain, and the party is already sure there's something going on. Eventually, they find out that the angel the villagers worship is actually the demon Shear encountered during her astral projection, who is trying to get a corporeal form by tricking humans into believing he's an emissary of the gods. His master is Orcus, the Lord of Undeath, so his power is manifested only on dead corpses. So Shear's big sister, the leader of the cult, and the rest of the villagers sacrifice their loved ones to create a body for this angel, pretending to the outsiders that they were all killed by the pox, a common but very deadly disease. Shear was chosen because of her powers, for it could reveal the truth about the cult, although the fiend failed to kill her astral body. But still, her physical body was dead long before she found the adventurers, used in the ritual to reincarnate the demon, and thrown in a pit of corpses. But the body of the demon was created using human skin of the sacrifices. His sanctuary also used human skin on the walls and on the floor, to turn it into a cursed place. So when the players find the corpses of the victims on the pit, they're all skinned, including the children. The demon used an illusion to make his temple look normal, and his appearance look like an angel. And the cult leader also gaslighted the villagers that could see through the illusion, but the players successfully unveiled the truth. After finding the truth and killing the fiend, the party is left speechless. The paladin is completely shaken by the revelation, and ends up beating the cult leader with his bare hands. When finding out their angel was dead, and that he was actually a demon, the entire village surrendered, knowing their souls were eternally damned for making a pact with a fiend. That's how the rules work here, unfortunately. The leader asks them to take her to the Inquisition, because we're all burning at the stake anyway after all that. Instead, after a bit of arguing, the players decide to burn the sanctuary with the leader inside. She didn't resist. The rest of the villagers are spared, but they must leave the village forever and rebuild their lives, spreading the lie that it was destroyed by fiends, and searching a way to save their souls while they still can. Before leaving, the bard buried what remained of the girl, in disgust of what happened to her. The only thing left to do was to go back to Shear and have the talk. It's probably the most cruel thing I made my players do, to tell a kid she's going to die soon, and there's nothing they can do about it. In the end, they only said that she has no body to go back to, and that the demon was defeated. They never told her what happened to her body, nor the truth about her village. In disbelief, she spent her last minutes coming to terms with her fate. She always dreamed about seeing the elven kingdom the players were heading to, and hoped that her soul could become a fairy. In this world, unless the person has an oath to a deity, it's not sure what happens after the death, so it's up to the people's imagination. Her last words were, "If we meet again, tell me how it's like, the Elven Kingdom." The bard played his lyre for her until her voice couldn't be heard anymore. "We are no heroes," one player said at the end of the session. Well, that was absolutely heartbreaking. Amazing world building by the DM. Do tell us about your epic role-playing moments in the comments section. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, All Things D&D. Stay tuned for more amazing Dungeons & Dragons content.